Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour, January 5th, 2017. I had 2016 in my notes. We have to learn to change that. Oh, changing year is a lot to remember here. Wow, a lot has happened in the last week. I'll be talking about, since I have a very good background in cyber security, spent 25 years of my life working in that, and also built some of the world's most secure international networks for banks, oil companies, governments, state governments, federal governments, international government exchange, etc. And we never, ever, ever, let me say ever again, ever had a hacking incident, ever. So when the DARPA began trying to build a secure network to put all of our defense and everything else in a network, I knew it was going to be a disaster because you can't open it up to the public. I have an expression, you know, the old expression, he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. Well, he who lives by encryption dies by encryption. I am a person who basically broke the RSA encryption codes, the most used long-term and in quantity, the most used encryption system ever devised by man. I broke that code in the year, well, about the mid to early 2000s, and I published it in my book, Calculate Primes, in 2007, and when that book was released, the immediate effect on the entire secure cyber world was complete devastation, absolute complete devastation, because they had used these in hardware, in software, and when programmers were programming, they assumed that this was an infallible code. And what it amounts to is you have computers, supercomputers, that calculate very big numbers that only have two prime numbers as factors. And it takes so much computing time that nobody could possibly calculate these within a reasonable amount of time. You've possibly heard of 64-bit or 128-bit or 256-bit encryption. That's what they're talking about. That's the bit size, the digital, is the binary size of the prime numbers. And so they're, when you translate those into base 10, they're very big numbers. I broke that code, and it sent the entire cyber world into a tizzy because they didn't know where these had been placed, where they, you know, all in banking and the government, etc. And so, but it was necessary for me to publish that to make public that that code had been broken. But anyway, so this whole deal today about, oh, they hacked into this past week a new one now, and it's the Washington Post, the boy that cried wolf again, taking a minor amount of hacking that nobody even really knows anything about this other than there was a laptop allegedly in a Vermont power station that had a virus in it. And then somebody said, well, it might be from the Russians. Then they took the story and then said that there was hacking in the grid system and was the Russians, and the Russians were attacking the grid system. Complete nonsense, because that laptop was never ever used for maintenance or for running a power station or anything else. And really, you know, it was Obama's dream to have a smart grid, remember? A number of years ago, that's all you heard Obama talking about. And what I said is, boy, that's an invitation for hackers. It's better to have a stupid, not intelligent grid system, because there's no computer hacking into the original Tesla, just balanced with diodes and shunts and inductors grid system. Beautiful, beautiful design, runs itself, and anyway, the whole purpose of the smart grid, was control of the public and controlling your use of electricity. So if you weren't a good person, they could shut off your electricity. And by the way, they'd monitor your house through the same system. So anyway, get your hip boots on. That's all I can tell you, because the next couple weeks and these past weeks have been just over the top. Obama and his buddies there are just, in the intelligence community, are just creating fake scares out of thin air. And there's nothing to it. They were supposed to meet with Donald Trump this week. Then they put it off till Friday, and because obviously they don't have anything. And a cybersecurity expert like myself, and there's thousands of people much more qualified than myself in the country that Trump could call on, I would gladly go, and I could certainly rip them a new you-know-what at these meetings. But there are people that are very well qualified. I'm sure he has very good people on his staff dealing with cybersecurity. And they'll take what the intelligence community hands them, and they're going to go, that's not even a laugh. I mean, not something to laugh at, because these are very serious charges that somehow Russia is influencing our elections. And they've not produced a shred of real evidence. It's like I said on John Moore's show yesterday, you know, if somebody took a picture of a robin in the snow and said, look, there's a robin at the South Pole in the snow, would you believe them? That's the equivalent of what they're doing with this hacking thing. They're saying, oh, it was done with a keyboard with cryptic Russian keyboard. Well, I can take my keyboard, or I can take your keyboard, or I can take any keyboard, and in 1 minute change it into the Russian keyboard, or into the Spanish keyboard, or into the Italian keyboard. I can do that in 2 seconds on any keyboard on the planet. So that that's not a proof of anything. See, you have people who are not experts trying to run around and pretend like they're experts. Gee, what would surprise you about that? And then making false claims and trying to start World War III. But this is a problem, because remember when Obama threw the Russian agents, or their basically the Russian embassy people out of, what was it, Massachusetts? There's two places there. And 35 Russian diplomats. He had absolutely no proof of anything. This is just saber rattling. That's all it is. Nothing to back it up. And he's trying desperately to create some kind of a situation, because the Hill of Beans didn't get into office to carry the torch. And so literally, I could see a lot of these people being arrested for trying to bring up and create false flag information. These people literally could be arrested for doing this and put in prison. And I hope they are. I hope it brings an end to creating fake news in the standard news media and the government agencies. Okay, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on this show, but it's very important to understand this. Some quick comments here. I want to get onto the main science topic. I'll be talking about some comets here. I'll also be talking about the Canadian energy situation, which is very important. It's a very hot topic in the science world, so that you understand it and understand where we were headed if Donald Trump had not become president, with carbon taxes, increased taxes, businesses just simply unable to operate because of huge expenses in electricity, government-subsidized alternative energy programs. Remember, Hillary Clinton said she was going to bring in 50 million solar panels. Well, guess what? None of them would ever be used, because the power companies can't manage that level of input of alternative energy. And remember, in my book, The McCanny Wing Generator World Energy Project, I talk about the myth of alternative energy. So I'll be talking about that as part of the main science topic today. China is racing to the moon and Mars. They're going to have probes, unmanned probes, on the moon and Mars. They've already had success going to the moon. But in 2 to 3 years, they are talking about putting a man on Mars in a couple years. Look, they got a few billion people. It wouldn't be hard to find a volunteer there to go, hey, you know, I'll be the first guy on Mars. And they put together some technology and, you know, try and send a guy to Mars. And there he is. And maybe he gets off, maybe he doesn't. But in China, he would be a national hero. Remember the Japanese had kamikazes in World War II who were national heroes for giving up their life for their country. But to put a guy on the moon or Mars or whatever is a goal. The problem is none of these people have put anybody into, really, the Chinese just put a space station up and they're going. What NASA's talking about doing in 20 to 30 years, China's doing right now. They've got a big space station up. China has what they call Space City. Space City is a place where there's nothing there except all of the engineering's, all of the physics, all of the everything that they're putting into space is in one spot, as opposed to the United States, which has it spread all over in Los Angeles, in Dallas, in Houston, in Alabama, in Florida, in the northeastern states, all over the place. NASA's like spread out and all over the place. But China has a city they call Space City, and that's where all of their research, development, and basically construction of their space program happens. So those people are all there together working. They're buying technology from the Russians, already put together. They've already accomplished docking, which means they can get their men up to a space station, dock with it. The men can go on the space station. They can take out garbage or whatever, return to Earth. And so they are where Russia was probably about 40 years ago. But they did it in a few years because they bought the technology. NASA is going to be a defunct agency. There was some talk about giving them some more money to try and get to the moon. And it didn't get the first, it didn't even get off home plate to first base, let alone first base with Congress. Their Congress is pretty much fed up with NASA. So NASA is Congress proof. It's a term that I use because they get money, and it's because they have little pieces in all the constituencies of all the representatives in Congress. And so it would be political suicide for any congressman or representative to vote against a NASA appropriations bill. So they keep voting it in. It smells like a big pile of rotten fish, and they don't get anything done. They have these, anyway, it's, but NASA will become a defunct agency. They'll just simply slip into oblivion, and someday you just won't hear about them anymore because private space is going to take over. I've heard rumors that they're going to dump their rocket development because the private rocket enterprises are developing bigger, better, more reliable rockets, and NASA, of course, is over schedule, over budget. Okay, so anyway, that's important to understand that the United States is horribly behind in the space race. You don't hear about this in the Western press. There were some poorly written, very poorly, there were poorly researched, but articles about the Russian space program. The Russians are so far advanced of what the United States is. In fact, guess who launches all of Americans' space projects today? Well, I wouldn't say all, just about 95% of them, Russia. And they have been for a long time, especially anything of any major consequence, anything that's large has to be launched by the Russians because in the United States, either private or within NASA, they don't have the ability to get large payloads into outer space. Okay, so I want to talk about Canadian energy. So these things all fit together because we're talking about international development here. Canada, on the other hand, is going backwards at near the speed of light. Their alternative energy program is a disaster. They have carbon tax, which you are going to get, on businesses. That would mean that every business would have to calculate their carbon footprint and then pay taxes based on, it's like, okay, your employees breathe this much oxygen this month, you got to pay a tax on that. And the tax, what does that tax go to do? Well, it just puts a major burden on business, and then that money goes to, you know, I really don't know where it goes. What would you spend the money on? It's like, you know, speeding tickets. It just goes into the government coffers. But what it does is puts a tremendous burden on industry and, of course, the individual, because ultimately the individual pays for this in increased product cost. But let me talk about the subsidized wind and solar farms that are rotting, being abandoned in Canada. These are big installations, not as big as the United States big installations, but these are subsidized by the government. They received $500,000 per year for the installation of every tower. That's a lot of dough when you consider that they're probably about $1 million to install one of them. After the first 2 years, that money is gravy. And so the other thing is those wind towers do not produce energy. They're sitting there idle 95% of the time. The Minister of Energy in Canada made a proclamation that the energy power companies could, as they decided, as they were operating their facilities, could shut down the power output of all of the three-blade wind generators in Canada, in their zone. And so that they do regularly. But those wind towers then receive payment from the government as if they were putting out complete full power. So if it's a 1.5 megawatt three-blade wind generator, they get paid for a 1.5 megawatts of energy production. And so that's a pretty sweet deal to have a system that many of them don't even work, but they still get the subsidy. So pile this on top of the already extremely expensive Canadian energy costs and then carbon tax on top of that, and then the fact that these subsidies are going to run out in a year or two. Now they have no way of removing this blight, which is on across the environment. So Canada has a big economic problem. Additionally, the United States is no longer the wimp economically. When Trump gets in, the infusion of investment coming into the United States with the tax cuts will be unbelievable. Already, since Trump was elected, trillion dollars have been promised for investment in the United States. Remember the $50 billion from SunBank, and the Sun is the owner of the bank in Japan, promising with a handshake to Trump $50 billion investment, followed by another $50 billion, $100 billion, a tenth of $1 trillion, and that's just one outfit. So why is this happening? Because you're lowering the taxes on, and also they're seeing energy prices that will come down. Energy prices using our local sources will bring the cost of energy down. And so now is a perfect time for, imagine, energy is a major cost of living. When you buy a hot dog at the baseball game, okay, you have the stadium to pay for, the lights, all the energy that went into making the cement for the stadium, the all, you know, energy for bringing the workers to work. There's so much hidden energy cost in everything today that that hot dog costs you $3 when the hot dog is probably worth about 5 cents. And, you know, they could sell it and make a good profit at 35 cents for the hot dog instead of $3 or $5, whatever you pay at the ballpark. But everybody out there, no matter what they're doing or what part of the equation they're in, is paying a severe amount of money for everything in energy. So you bring the energy cost down, the cost of production, of manufacturing comes down, and all of a sudden, you have an economy that is going into absolute overdrive. Now, what are industries going to do with their extra money now that the cost of manufacturing is down? They have their labor costs covered, and there's going to be a lot of profit. They're going to have to reinvest that money. So part of the genius of bringing down taxes is there's more money to reinvest. A smart manager knows that it's the velocity of money that creates wealth in a country. It's how many times does that dollar change hands per day? That's what creates the revenue that comes back into the government. So by cutting taxes for the individual corporation, you're actually going to get a lot more back. And now this is something that the dimwits in Washington have never been able to figure out, or in Canada with the Justin Trudeau little wannabe trying to run a country. And they're doing this in the name of environment. And that's what they were going to do to you, the United States. You are going to get the full blast of Clinton economics with carbon tax, with higher taxes on industry, driving more jobs offshore, with open borders, with super cheap labor, and gutting more jobs out of the United States, driving the United States into third world status. That was what was on the plate for you. They never in a million years ever imagined that Trump could win, given the probably 18 million, I've estimated, between 15 and 18 million votes that were rigged for Hillary Clinton. She was supposed to win by a massive landslide. So when she lost, it was like, they weren't expecting that. She did not even write a speech, that she didn't even write one. She just knew she was going to win. So when the verdict came down, this was shock city to the Clintons, which, by the way, they've been pretty much tossed out of the Democratic Party now. The Bill Clinton and the Hillary Clinton, their time is over. They can't take another chance on these people ever again coming out of the woodwork. So good grief. It's about time they, you know, and this is going to force the Democratic Party, if they ever recover, to come back. And right now it's fully Republican. I was never a Republican before. I was never a Democrat either. But if you have a strong leader that understands, you have to understand, Trump is more of a libertarian than a Republican. That's why the Republicans hated him. He's not your standard come out of the stamp cookie mold Republican by any stretch of the imagination. He is literally a libertarian. But the Libertarian Party and the Green Party didn't have people who represent those venues at all. So anyway, just this is important to understand, because now that China is racing to the moon, private industry in the United States is going to take over, and it might be a healthy competition. There's nothing like competition to make stuff happen. And I'll tell you something, if you see a rocket going off, going into outer space, that is a sign of somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. Because rockets are not the way to go into space. If you see a heavy lift rocket launching off a launch pad, forget it, buddy. That's not the way to go into outer space. So all of these people are marching down the wrong road. Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, China, Russia included, NASA. They're all marching down the wrong road. And I've said this before, in 5 years, for sure in 10 years, the companies that you see now will be nowhere on the charts, and the people who are really exploring space, you don't even see today. That's the way it is. And the CIA control of science, this is one of the other things. Now, I have talked extensively about the CIA taking over science in the United States and literally in the world back in 1991. And it had already been highly controlled and, you know, in black ops science. That had existed since back in the Manhattan Project before in World War II. That was a black ops project, secret science project, scientists off in the middle of the desert trying to develop a nuclear capability. But literally in 1991, a big shift occurred. And then bringing in Dan Golden from the CIA to take over NASA and shutting NASA down into a tier two where the garbage science then would be pawned off upon you, the public. And that really was underway also going back into the early 80s with Carl Sagan and the Cosmos series and all of that. By the way, mentioning that term Cosmos, just a little side note here, I am presenting a new, I don't know if you'd call it a course, it's a series, but what I'm doing is I'm calling it Cosmos. And that's a term, I don't think anybody owns that term. Not even Carl Sagan, not even deGrasse Tyson or whoever. But anyway, it's the McCanny version of Cosmos. And now many people have seen the Carl Sagan Cosmos and the new one that had just come out. I think there's 13 episodes in that. And I'm going to be taking them, and first I'm going to show you the ridiculous nature of what they're trying to pawn off on you. And by the way, there's not a lot of change between Carl Sagan in 1981 and deGrasse and Tyson here up here when there was that another year ago or two when they came out and released that Cosmos series, so maybe 2015. There's not a lot of difference in content. When I was teaching university level astronomy, it was in around 1993 to 94 in the United States. I was teaching astronomy. The salesman, the book salesman, selling textbooks came into my office and were trying to, there was a big turnover in textbooks that year. So there were probably 20 brand new textbooks for astronomy, college level astronomy, all the way from introductory all the way up to advanced, you know, for physics majors type of astronomy. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to take this opportunity. These guys will give me these books for free. And so I did. I took one. I said, yeah, I want to look at your book. And of course, the salesmen were from different companies. They didn't know I was doing this. They probably expected you'd look at maybe two or three and then select one. And they were all hoping to be the, you know, get their, sell their book. That's what they do. They sell textbooks. So I got them all. I got every available textbook for astronomy college level. And so I did a textbook study with my students. And this is the video that resulted from all of this. I have available on my webpage. It's on the two DVD set of remastered videos. So if you have that, take a look at it. If not, it's available. I think it's a pretty reasonable price on my webpage. And it contains 8 historically important videos of me. You'll see me aging through these videos from back in the 1980s when I gave a talk, invited talk at Los Alamos National Laboratory, and on through my time up to, say, the UFO Congress talks in Laughlin, Nevada in around 2004. So, but one of the videos in there was the remastering of this. It was called Astronomy for the 90s. And I had a professional photographer, cameraman that came in and shot the video. And that's when editing was editing. You did it with tape, like high, not VHS, it was much higher quality tape, but still that same type of tape. And he did all the editing by hand. I sat there with him and said, cut here. Okay, let's paste this sound, let's put music here, whatever. And we created this video. It's worth seeing. And that's what you'll see me at a point in which I was teaching university astronomy and physics at the school where I was at. But so this opportunity to take Cosmos, the series that many people have seen, rip it apart, and then put it back together with Jay McCanney science with plasma discharge comet model, my electrical model for the solar system, the excess current of protons in the solar wind, how Jupiter works, etc., etc. So look forward to that, and that'll be you'll see that coming on my webpage shortly. So now I have three things, and that'll be about a 13-set session. My paid cast goes on and on. My regular show goes on and on. But this will be kind of a canned product, so to speak, and probably some of it will be free, and some of it will probably be a charge to cover costs of production, etc., because believe me, that's not free. I try and keep the production costs down, of course, but there are some involved in production and distribution, etc. So, but look for that. It's going to be Cosmos, the McCanney version, coming to my webpage very soon. But back to the topic of the CIA controlling science. Now, Trump has not met with the CIA or intelligence groups since becoming elected president. They are saying that Obama met with them very soon after becoming elected president. But of course, Obama was a pawn. And the CIA is the police force of the World Bank, so being a nice pawn, it was Obama's job to quickly meet with them, and so that everybody had their marching orders correct. But the CIA is going to have a swamp drained out from under it. And this is very interesting, and this is why Trump has to be extremely careful. The last guy that tried to drain the swamp out of the CIA was John Kennedy Sr., and we all know what happened to him. So Trump has to be very aware of what he is doing is not sitting well with what they call the intelligence community. And he's setting up his own layers of intelligence. He has very good people from the military who have top military surveillance and information. So it's what's being presented to you, the American public, is very different than what's going on. With Obama and Hillary Clinton funding ISIS to create it, the Libya fiasco, now with the attacks on Syria, the undermining of Turkey, the undermining of relationships between Turkey and the Soviet Union. This is what the CIA does. And then they present this image to you, the public. And see, that's what the Council on Foreign Relations, which Obama and Hillary Clinton and all of these people have belonged to for a long time, especially the Clintons. That's where they see what's really going on and then formulate the baloney stories that they pass off to you, the public. So when people read the newspaper or watch the evening news and they think that they're very well informed, that they're a walking encyclopedia of complete BS. That's what they are. And so anyway, it's important to, in a science sense, to understand that the CIA, for example, their organization InQtel, launders the CIA drug money and puts it into high-tech corporations. They manage own over 600 high-tech corporations. Where in the CIA charter do they get enough money to own and operate 600 high-tech companies, not the least of which is Google and other companies, Yahoo, Facebook? All of these have funding from the CIA. So now, And just not to mention the control of science, when, just as an example, when Elon Musk was not getting his cut of military launch contracts, he sued the federal government. And I thought, uh-oh, Elon, you really know who you're stepping into the ballpark with? But he's got deep pockets, and he's also a ball player. He understands what it would take to be in the game. So anyway, the day the settlement came out, they never took it to court. It never got to court. There was a settlement, and the settlement was piggybacked with a billion-dollar investment from, guess who? Google and Fidelity Investments, CIA operative fronts. And so what basically happened then is now not only did Elon Musk get contracts to launch military payloads, but he also got access to a lot of what they call remote sensing. Remote sensing is cameras, any type of other sensors, infrared, ultraviolet, whatever it is, to monitor. And this also includes digital and cyber monitoring that comes through Google. So the CIA, in conjunction with Elon Musk, with Google, Fidelity, and a lot of other companies that were drawn in on that, not the least of which were some of the companies in the CIA operative drug launder money sponsored InQtel companies that are high-tech information companies, information gathering, all that got put into a very pretty package. But now that the CIA is going to be skidded out of there, this leaves a power vacuum. So it's very interesting. I don't know if Trump understands all of this. I hope he listens to my shows. But anyway, understanding that the CIA is not just an information gathering organization. It operates a major drug trafficking operation from Afghanistan and from South America. It has operations in the United States and on the street. They use the government to kill off their competition. The Just Say No to Drugs program, started by Nancy Reagan, whose husband Ronald was in the White House when this major drug trafficking operation of the CIA was in full swing, which led up to the Iran-Contra affair, which was just a little piece of the puzzle, which led to the Waco, Texas fiasco. I'm not going to go into all these details, but the point is that with the CIA being basically drained of all these high-level crooks, then there's going to be a vacuum in this interface to high-tech science companies. So that'll be very interesting to see how that shakes out. I will keep you posted, but of course I'm not privy to the inside of what's going on, but there are people in the CIA who are not interested in seeing their long, long hard work being basically just, like they say, drain the swamp. Pull the peg, the door opens, the swamp drains out, and a tremendous amount of illegal activity going on there. Yeah, if you knew, if the American public had even a clue of the amount of illegal activity going on in these operations, you wouldn't even believe it. You wouldn't even begin to believe it. And I know a lot, but I clearly don't know everything about them. But I've personally seen this. I don't have to read it on a web page or read a book. I've seen this myself. I've seen the disgusting people and their operations and everything else. So I know enough about this to know that when you read a book like Clinton, Bush and the CIA by Terry Reid, that is a factual book. So Canada, the reason I'm talking about Canada again, is where we were supposed to be going with the carbon tax and the UN-controlled water and everything else. So at any rate, Canada is going to, you're going to see a lot of high-tech companies and people from Canada moving into the United States. It's just going to be a brain drain. It's going to happen over the next 4 years. And there's just no way about it. They cannot afford to be in Canada. As Trudeau continues on his policies with his head in the sand. So if you're listening from Canada, I feel sorry for you. I don't know what you're going to do, because this guy is, unless you can just get that guy out of there and turn this thing around. and get somebody like Trump in there who's going to create solid growth into the future with a peacetime economy. And peacetime, traditionally, peacetime economy meant a very weak economy. It's not necessarily how it has to be. It's just the way that you have been programmed to believe. I remember a buddy of mine's dad used to say, you know, if the economy was low, he'd go, "What we need is a good war." And the idea being that when the war kicks in, the economy grows. Anyway, it does not have to be that way. In fact, you're going to see in the next upcoming years how terrible past presidential administrations really were. I mean, you can already see it. You can already see the investment, the positive attitude. The companies that are already planning to move into the United States or stay, like Ford and Carrier and other companies, because they see an economic bright future. Why would you run a company in a country that taxes you to death? There's no profit, you work your butt off, and there's nothing for the stockholders. Why would you do that? You know, it doesn't make any sense, and certainly not business sense at all. But watch and see how the changes come about. Here's a little story. Around the turn of the century, the 1900s, there was an era of extreme wealth and growth. And remember that when the Titanic went down, a lot of the American nouveau rich were on the Titanic. And some of the old money, the European money, were supposed to be on it, but canceled at the last minute. Gee, I wonder, you know, they say it hit an iceberg. The story is there was a ship out there that rammed it and took it to the bottom. But basically the Astors and the, you know, the whole laundry list of new money, very wealthy people in the United States went down with the Titanic. Not exactly a random event, let's put it that way. So the people, the European bankers, which you might call old money, they like to protect their assets and their position in the world. So, but with Britain pulling out of, you know, the Brexit, with the, you know, France and Germany and Italy pulling out of the European Union and that collapsing, with Iceland pulling out of the European banking system, and then Russia, etc., already having pulled out, and many other countries, with China being half in it and half out. Anyway, this is a very new world is shaping up in a very short amount of time. And it's very positive for the public. It's very negative for the old guard. And what does this have to do with science? Absolutely everything, because science was centrally controlled by these groups from Europe. And so basically the tier one science, which I'm privy to actually quite a bit of it, because actually a lot of it I invented, and it was absconded from me back in the early 1980s. So the future is going to be very, very interesting. That's all I can tell you. So everything I've been talking about here, the economics, the countries that are going to go south like Canada, or the countries that are going to skyrocket into a new era of wealth and prosperity and growth and innovation like the United States, it's going to be just something to watch. And the other thing about the banks, I was talking about the tremendous prosperity at the turn of the century, the 1900s, early 1900s. The prosperity that was going on, nobody was going into the banks for loans because there was so much excess wealth coming out of these corporations. They had to invest it. Where did they invest it? Into new technology. Porsche had electric cars. Look on the internet. There's a picture of an electric car. Porsche had them in what, 1903 or something like that. Tesla did his Chicago International Fair, the World Fair, in what, 1893 or something? I forget the exact year, where he lit it up and nobody had ever seen it. He had skylights, you know, with the beam skylights. He had his he had neon lights. He had moving lights. He had lights that would turn on and turn off with relays. He had this all set up, and then running off of his generators, this was the future. The world was in such a positive acceleration mode, and then in came the European bankers. By 1913, they had taken over the United States banking empire, and because nobody was going to them for loans, they were out of business, because in a booming economy, there's so much excess wealth to be reinvested that who would go to a bank? So they shut it down, took over the iron mining operation in central, north central United States, and started World War I. And that's the road we've been on ever since. And that's the road we're going to be on forever with the if the H person got into office. So people who think that, oh, we needed a first woman president or something, you know, maybe, but not that one. Not that criminal entity that represents all kinds of other criminal activity that, believe me, you and your kids really don't even want to know about. That's how bad it is. But anyway, okay, so now I'm going to be talking about the two comets. Just a quick mention about Canada also. It has one of the world's largest uranium deposits in Alberta and Saskatchewan. It's now pretty much confirmed what I had said originally, that the fires that were set up there, remember the fires this past fall? I forget the exact date of those. The fires were set on purpose to burn the people out of there. And the people, when they left, they wouldn't let them back in. That was to burn off all of the forest so that it would be easier to get in there and mine the uranium, which is in a powder form spread across the land. So it's a horrendous, environmentally extremely damaging form of strip mining in which they're going to basically mine off tremendous amounts of land, and then guaranteed they will not restore it, just like the three-blade wind generators or the highly toxic solar panels. And that's something, too, that nobody talks about. If a solar panel sits out in the sun, it's usable for 10 to 20 years. That's the lifetime of that solar panel. After that, it starts to break down, and the chemicals in that solar panel are horrendous. So there's a big, big problem with solar panels. And none of these corporate governments have put any sort of stipulation out there to remove the three-blade wind generators or the solar panels once their subsidized use is completed. The second they lose government subsidies, they will simply shut down, walk away, and leave those facilities. But the solar panels, once they start to break down in the sun, that is tremendously damaging to the environment. It'll go into the water table, etc. Okay, so anyway, by the way, I just became aware of this the other day, that the frequency for this show, it used to be, it is posted on my webpage as 5.070 megahertz. That has changed. The frequency now, this is for WWCR only, and this will be posted on my webpage on the How to Listen subpage. The wintertime frequency now is 5.890, and the simulcast frequency is 6.115 megahertz. Summertime frequency, of course, is 9.350, and that changes with the daylight saving time change between winter and summer. And I'll have that posted on my subpage also. Right now, the wintertime frequency 5.890, simulcast 6.115 megahertz. That's from WWCR. That does not affect the Friday night airing from WTWW in Nashville. Okay. I want to talk here before I run out of time. I had some retesting of my water filters. And this is an ongoing process. It's something that happens all the time. And the latest test has just come out. And so I want to talk about, because now what's very interesting is that there is a certification test for pharmaceuticals. This is very big news, because I guarantee you there's not another filter company on the market that can claim to remove pharmaceuticals. And believe me, every time you open up that tap, especially if you live in the city, you're getting a royal dose. And this is something, too, that has come out. The female hormones that are put in drugs for women, and actually for men also, but I'm going to read kind of a list of these just to tell you what you're getting every time you take a drink of water. And now this is proven through testing. And the reason I'm pointing this out, of course, is that my water filter elements, the JMCC all-in-one water filter elements that take out pharmaceuticals, and the recent testing shows that they take out really, and of course filtration is always in percentage, but 99% etc. of pharmaceuticals. So here's what happens. You go to the drugstore, you get a prescription, your neighbors do, everybody in town gets. Imagine all the drugs in the drugstores over there in the corner. Not only yours, but every place else. Those drugs get ingested through humans. They go down into the toilet. They come off into the water system. They go to the water treatment plant where they don't remove any of that. And that water then gets dumped back into the water table. And that is accumulative, so it keeps building and building year after year. So you may as well just take all those drugs in a drugstore in terms of the water system and just put them into solution and dump them into the water table. Believe me, you're getting a royal dose when you're taking tap water, and especially in the cities, especially with city water or municipality water. So get that out of your water. The JMCC filter elements remove that. And so anyway, I'm going to read some of these chemicals. Let me quick pull this up here. It's rather difficult to sometimes. Okay, here we go. Progesterone, cortisone, cortisol, cortisone, aldosterone, DHEA, and then for women, estrone, estradiol, estriol, progesterone, androstenedione, testosterone, and then for men, testosterone and androstenedione, and then estradiol. And these are chemicals, not to mention artificial cholesterol, and these are OH, basically, compounds that the body produces. And then the other thing is that these are artificial hormones. These are synthetic hormones that are put in the laboratory, and they also include steroids. So and this is why, now there's some other studies going on, the results are not final yet. This is why the men are growing, you know, like they're having their male activity basically obliterated. It's coming in many directions. It's coming in through glyphosate, which is highly concentrated in beer. So when people drink beer, especially if it's made with grains from the United States that are GMO, the glyphosates highly concentrate, just like the alcohol is highly concentrated in the beer. And then you're drinking this, and it destroys your hormonal activity and essentially your male hormonal activity. And in the women, they're getting a very strange cross-section of drugs also. So, and this is all because of prescription and over-the-counter drugs that people are taking, and this all goes back into the water system. The good news is that my water filters remove this, and so this is something I want to stress, because now we have a certification test that's on the market from the NSF labs, and the test results, which I now have back from that. So this is very important news, something that we always knew was there, but now we actually have actual results. So very, very impressive results. And so once again, not to brag or blow my horn too much, but nobody else has been Johnny on the spot to get the testing up to certification standards accomplished other than myself. So if you're looking for water filters, there's only one place on the planet to go, and that's to the my webpage, jmccsci.com. Okay, I don't want to turn this show into a commercial, but I believe that's very, very important, because pharmaceuticals and then also the arsenic and the fluoride, plus all of the other heavy metals, etc., all taken out in that one filter element. And there's nobody else that has that. Every other brand requires an add-on filter just to remove arsenic and fluoride. So, and that's those. I used to sell those filters, those add-on arsenic fluoride filters. If you still have them, they're still usable. But I hope everybody has phased out of those and have phased into my new GF filters. And remember, the Imperial size, double the flow rate, four times the lifetime. Just a tremendous filter. I mean, light years ahead of what I was selling 5 and 10 years ago. Of course, that was the best that was available at that time. But there's nothing anywhere on the planet that compares. Okay, enough bragging, enough commercial. But I believe it's very important, because that's a milestone in the development of water filter elements. And once again, my filters are the only ones that have it. So you can get that with any of the inline water filters. You can get it at the plastic or the stainless steel gravity filters. All of the filters are from the same production. The only difference between high pressure and gravity feed, which is low pressure filter elements, a little bit in the makeup of the ceramic part to allow much more water to flow through the inline water filter elements. So there you go. Go check it out, jmccsci.com. Very important to get those pharmaceuticals out of your water. In fact, I have one in my bathroom. I don't brush my teeth. And many times in the night, I'll go in and I'll go into the bathroom and take a drink of water. And, you know, I know that, and I don't want to drink tap water. And what are you doing? You're sleeping, and so you want that fresh water from a filter. And I'm out of time. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.